بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله من الأوائل العشر، من العشر الأوائل من ذي الحجة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء كرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, Allah Rabbul Izzah has kept within the Islamic calendar certain special moments, special times, special places, wherein the winds of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blow very strongly upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the doors of Allah's bounties, Allah's blessings, Allah's favor, Allah's grace, Allah's forgiveness are wide open. As ulama say, the national treasury is wide open. And the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being implored that come and take as much as you want from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These special moments, the month of Ramadan, the 10 days of Muharram, and then we have the current season of the calendar that we find ourselves in, what is known as the mawsim, the season of Hajj, which ulama explain in reality commences the moment the moon for Eid al-Fitr is sighted. When the month of Ramadan comes to an end and the first of Shawwal comes in, already the Mawsimul Hajj, the season of Hajj begins. This is already a special moment in the Islamic calendar, a special time. And then as we reach the climax, the conclusion of the season of Hajj, the moon for Dhul Hijjah is sighted, and the first 9 or 10 days of Dhul Hijjah commence, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that there are no days in the entire year more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these days. And not only this, there are no days in the entire calendar where good deeds are more beloved to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala than these days. As ulama explained, this is the investment of the century, the investment of the year. If a person hears there's such an investment, a person invests R1 million, the return will be 355 million rand. Such profits, such yields that are unheard of. Then no person will give up the opportunity. No person will miss the chance. Not only myself, but my family members, my wife, my children, my relatives. I don't want anybody to lose out on this deal. The returns are unheard of. A person will make it here and he'll be set for the rest of his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains in various riwayat that these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, in reality the 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, the 10th day will be the day of Eid. These days are the time for us to make the investment of the year. A person who will fast on these days, the return will be 355 times. For every day of fasting, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is prepared to give us 1 year's reward. For every night in ibadat, Allah is prepared to give us the virtue of Laylatul Qadr. And we know during the month of Ramadan, the last 10 nights, how much of an effort is made to search for Laylatul Qadr. Many people spend the entire night awake. Sometimes they have work the next day, or they were tired after a long day's work. But they still exert themselves, make an effort, I want to secure the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is prepared to give us this reward on each of these nights. Ulama explain that we are fond of hacks, life hacks, travel hacks, that easily get your work done. We'll show you a shortcut. Ulama teach us what is the shortcut during these days. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who will perform his Isha Salah with Jamaat in the masjid, and then he may go back home, he may sleep for the entire night, he doesn't even read one page of Quran, he doesn't wake up for Tahajjud Salah also. But he then ensures that he's in the masjid for Fajr Salah with Jamaat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says his reward will be the entire night in ibadat. Ulama say at least this much during these 10 days. At least this much my Isha Salah in the masjid. And no disobedience of Allah thereafter. And then to enshwam in the masjid for Fajr Salah, that is the hack. That is the shortcut. At least I will secure the reward of ibadat during these nights. The reward of Laylatul Qadr. So this is indeed a very special time, my dear brothers. Ulama of the past will say, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عَلَامَةِ الْإِيمَانِ, that for a believer to identify with these special moments, to feel that there's something in the air. Right now, I can perceive the rahmat of Allah. I can perceive the doors of forgiveness are open. For a person to have this perception, to identify with these moments, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عَلَامَةِ الْإِيمَانِ, this is a sign that a person has the fire of iman burning within his heart. He has iman, he's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with this, we find the topic of choice in many homes, perhaps at the dastarkhan, perhaps outside the masjid, and in many circles, the topic of choice, the discussion that is taking place, who are those fortunate individuals whose names have been called to present themselves at Baytullah? They have already left, perhaps the last few will be leaving. So-and-so has booked his ticket, so-and-so has booked their accommodation, the package has been paid for. They have already been to Madinah Munawwara, now they've come to Makkah Mukarrama, they're going to Aziziya, and soon the days of Hajj will start. So-and-so has never been for Umrah in their life before, they have gone. He's gone with his wife, he's taken his parents and gone. This becomes the topic that many of us discuss, and many a times with a great amount of envy, that if only my name also would be called, if only I would also be given that opportunity to present myself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality, my dear brothers, is as much as we have that yearning and desire within the heart. And this should be the case, that every person yearns and desires to go on the journey of a lifetime. But the reality, and we learn from Quran also, is that it will just be a fraction, a percentage of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who will be fortunate enough to go for the physical journey of Hajj. Many a person may not see the Baytullah with his own eyes during his entire life. Allah make it such, Allah remove the obstacles, Allah create the means, Allah take each and every one of us. But the reality of the matter, it may be a community, it may be an area, a locality of 2,000, 3,000 Muslim families. But there will just be one or two from that area, from that masjid, from that locality who will go for Hajj. The question remains, my dear brothers, what do the rest of us do? While we identify with the Hujjaj, and the yearning and desire is there within our heart, but what opportunity has Allah left for us to also secure these rewards? Remember, Allah Rabbul Izzah is very fair, very just. And Allah will not only create opportunities for a select percentage of the ummah, but Allah gives opportunities to each and every one of us. And therefore, when we look into the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that there are a number of a'mal, of actions, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught to us, which if a person carries out with sincerity, with the correct intention, with the correct mindset, then while he may not have gone on the physical journey of Hajj, but he will definitely secure the reward of the Hujjaj. And there are various a'mal, various actions, and perhaps we may already be aware of them. But for us to understand the mindset, the intention behind it, those actions which are seemingly insignificant, trivial, very easy to carry out, yet the rewards are very tremendous in the eyes of Allah. The hadith of Abu Umama al-Bahili radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us the first action. A very easy action, but at the same time something which is greatly overlooked in today's time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about that person who leaves home for his fard salah in the masjid. His intention is to go to the masjid. This may be his habit throughout the year. He doesn't have any other motive when he leaves his home. But to show Allah the initiative from his side, to show Allah his preparation ahead of time, that I am going to meet Allah in the masjid, I will be standing in front of Allah. This person takes care to make his wudu at home. من خرج من بيته متطهرا إلى صلاة مكتوبة. Just on this seemingly simple action, he was going to the masjid, but he ensures that he makes his wudu at home. He does not unnecessarily make wudu in the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَأَجْرُهُ كَأَجْرِ الْحَاجِّ الْمُحْرِمِ. The reward this person will accrue and secure will be the reward of the haji in the state of ihram. Every step the haji takes, and we know how difficult the physical journey of hajj is, how challenging it is. Ask those who have been. The weather may not be to their liking. The food at times, they are not used to that type of food. The accommodation is unsuitable at times. And then the traveling companions, the entire journey, people with different temperaments, with different likes and dislikes. But they are forced to share rooms with them, or to share a camp with them. Sometimes arguments break out. Sometimes tempers flare. And then he has paid for his package, but the agent delivers something different. So there's a dispute that arises there again. Many a time the haji leaves behind his family members, his wife, his children, just his name came out. So the pain of separation from his loved ones. And then not to speak about the financial expenditure behind it. Many a times an entire lifetime of savings. All of these challenges, all of these obstacles that are there. And we can imagine each step, how weighty it then is in the eyes of Allah. Each tasbih he reads, how weighty in the eyes of Allah. Each salah he performs, each dua he makes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us that you can secure the very same reward within your own local masjid. Just take care to make it for your fard salah, make wudu at home. Such a simple action, my dear brothers. Many of us may be doing this, but have we made the intention that, oh Allah, especially during this season of the year, when I am making my wudu at home, I am signaling to Allah, I am showing my preparation ahead of time, that, oh Allah, now I also want to secure the reward of the haji. I may not have spent 1 cent towards my hajj. My name is still very far on the list. I don't even harbor any realistic hopes of going for hajj in the near future. But the intention is there, the reward will be secured. Allah is very kind, Allah is very appreciative of our actions. Then comes the hadith of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Again, a very simple and easy action to carry out. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam speaks about the person who performs his fajr salah in the masjid. And then after salatul fajr, he remains seated until the sun rises, and he waits for a short while thereafter. And then he reads 2 rakats of salah, what we call salatul ishraq. And really, my dear brothers, if we look at the norm in our area with regard to the fajr time, which is generally towards the end of the salah time, there is perhaps 10-15 minutes before sunrise. So a person just needs to remain in the masjid for 15-20 minutes longer. But again, what is the mindset behind it? I am starting my day with the deen of Allah in front. Again, I am showing Allah my initiative. Although the phone may be ringing, the emails are there to be answered, the customers are calling, the orders need to be placed, the EFTs need to be done. But I will take out these few moments in the early part of the morning to start my day showing Allah I am putting deen in front. That person who will read his fajr salah, and then he will perform 2 rakats of salatul ishraq. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the sahaba radiallahu anhum, his reward will be 1 hajj and 1 umrah. And if this sounds unbelievable, then rest assured, my dear brothers, this sounded unbelievable to the sahaba as well. They also questioned, O Nabi of Allah, will he really secure this reward? A complete hajj, complete umrah? Just 2 rakats of salah, how is it possible? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to drive home the point, to emphasize that Allah is really prepared to give us these rewards, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam repeats himself, tamma, tamma, tamma. He will secure the reward of a complete hajj and umrah. Again, he is showing Allah that I am stepping forward. I am taking the initiative. I am starting my day with your deen in front. For this, Allah will give him these rewards. Then the third hadith, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhuma. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, من سبح الله مئة بالغدات ومئة بالعشي. This is perhaps even easier than the first two actions, where a person does not even need to dedicate time to this, but he can do it while occupied with his normal routine. That person who will take the name of Allah, who will glorify Allah in some way or the other, some tasbih of Allah he will make. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And we have been taught in other riwayat that these are the tasbihat we should be reciting during these days specifically. But that person who will make the tasbih of Allah 100 times in the morning and 100 times in the evening, listen to the reward, my dear brothers. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? 100 times subhanallah, alhamdulillah, some tasbih of Allah in the morning, 100 times in the evening. Kana kaman hajja mi'ata marra. This person, it will be as though he performed 100 hajj. Again, as we mentioned, with all the difficulties and challenges, and all the expenditure involved, and the pain of separation from one's family, and the adverse conditions that a person will have to endure when he goes for hajj, this person in the comfort of his home, the comfort of his air-conditioned car, in the comfort of his local masjid, but he will secure the very same reward. كَانَ كَمَنْ حَجَّ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. Again, look at the mindset behind it, my dear brothers. In the morning and the evening. Again, those times of the day where a person's mind is preoccupied generally. The morning, as we mentioned, the tasks of the day ahead. The children are getting ready for school. He's got school rounds to do. He's got to open up shop. He's got so many important meetings for the day. He's got so many bills to pay for the day. And then the evening, where he's now reviewing the day that had passed, and perhaps the takings were not so good for the day, something didn't go right, he's still on the phone as he leaves work, and he's got 1,000 problems on his mind, but he takes out those few moments, even while driving home, while driving to and fro from the masjid, but he takes out time to make the tasbih of Allah. Again, he's showing Allah the initiative, that I am giving deen importance in my life. Despite my occupation, despite my being busy, and despite all of these responsibilities surrounding me. And really, my dear brothers, if we have to ask ourselves, the greatest complaint in today's time, which person says I have free time? The greatest complaint every businessman wishes, that it was an 8-day week. It was a 25-hour day. There's just not enough time. Children are complaining there's not enough time with the parents. The school teachers are complaining, there's no time to finish the syllabus. The businessman is complaining, the professional is complaining. But with all of these occupations, with the limited time and resources, but this person put the deen of Allah in front. He showed Allah his initiative. He gave importance to the remembrance of Allah. Allah says, you will secure the reward of Hajj. The heart desires to go, the yearning is there. For some reason or the other, you are unable to make it. Perhaps finances were an issue. Whatever it may be, you could not secure leave from work. Your visa did not come. But the desire was there. You took time out to show Allah importance. You will secure the reward of Hajj. And then finally, the fourth action, which is perhaps one of the most important aspects to take into consideration in today's time. The Sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, O Nabi of Allah, inni ashtahil jihad wa la aqdiru alayh. O Nabi of Allah, I have a desire to go in jihad. I have a desire to fight in the path of Allah. I see others going, giving their lives, giving their wealth, giving their time. But I am unable to do so. The opportunity is not there. Perhaps he did not have the means. O Nabi of Allah, what do I do? Is there any opportunity for me to show my allegiance to Allah? To show my loyalty to the deen of Allah? Others are showing it with their lives. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks him, هَلْ بَقِيَ مِنْ وَالِدَيْكَ شَيْءٍ. That are any of your parents still alive? He says, نَعَمْ أُمِّي. My mother is still living. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says to him, فَأَبْلِ اللَّهَ فِي بِرِّهَا. That, O my sahabi, present your obedience to your mother as an excuse in the court of Allah. I was unable to take part and go in the path of Allah. Others went and gave their lives. They wrote their allegiance and loyalty to Allah with their own blood. I was unable to do so. What excuse will I present to Allah? Present your obedience to your mother as an excuse before Allah. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to him, that if you will do this, if you will show obedience to your mother, and in general to your parents, فَأَنْتَ حَاجٌ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ, then you will be the true mujahid, the true haji, the true mu'tamir, the one who performs umrah. You will secure the reward of these a'mal of deen, because you took care of the responsibility that was in front of you at the time. Unfortunately, my dear brothers, how many times we hear that middle-aged person who has now found some stability financially, he's at the peak of his physical strength, he has ability, he has many people under him perhaps, and his parents have now become frail, become weak, the hair has turned grey, the body has become old, the bones have become brittle, perhaps the mind is not as sharp as it once was. They begin to speak out of turn, sometimes they may make embarrassing statements, they cause a delay when a person wants to travel or go out somewhere. And that person says that my mother, my father has become a burden upon me. I do not have any time for them any longer. I have my own family, my children to take care of. Ulama say, has that man or woman who is now at the peak of their powers, financially, physically, mentally, has that person forgot that it was not too long ago that they were totally reliant on their mother and father for just one drop of milk, for just one grain of rice, just to cleanse themselves? They would not have been able to cleanse themselves, to take a bath, to change their diaper, if it was not for the caring hand of the mother, if it was not for the compassion of the father. But now that the tables have turned, and a person forgets this in a split second, bear in mind this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person who will obey his mother, obey his father, he will be respectful to them. And of course, for the details we can consult the ulama ikram. At times there is a conflict, a person's parent may ask them to do something that is in conflict with the deen of Allah, we are not speaking about that. But in general, he's obedient, he's respectful. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, فَأَنْتَ حَاجٌ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if a person genuinely is seeking the pleasure of Allah, he wants to make Allah happy, and this is the goal of our life, the purpose of our lives, رِضَى الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَى الْوَالِدِ, the pleasure of Allah will be found in the pleasure of one's parents. So these few actions, my dear brothers, we, the so-called unfortunate ones who have remained behind, who have not been given the opportunity to physically present ourselves at Baytullah, the dua still remains that Allah remove the obstacles and take each and every one of us. And we should continue making this dua. Ulama have mentioned that the call of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he built the Baytullah, and Allah instructed him, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, that, O Ibrahim, make the announcement and invite people to visit my home. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then asked Allah, that, O Allah, where will my voice reach? Who will hear my call? Nevertheless, he complies with the command of Allah. He makes the announcement. Ulama have written, Mufassirin have written, that person who will go for Hajj during his lifetime, this is on the back of responding to the call of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So we still harbor those hopes that Allah allow us to respond physically to the call of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But at the same time, it does not mean that we have not gone this year, that all hope is lost. These opportunities remain for us on a daily basis. That is why ulama say the journey of Hajj, the journey of Umrah, begins in our local masjid. These 10 days Allah has given to us, as we mentioned in the beginning, the bonanza is on right now, the bargain of the year, the investment of the year is on right now. As much as we can invest, the rewards will come to us. We may not see it in this world, but when a person's eyes will close, and where that will be the only currency that matters. Ulama say when a person leaves this world, then there will be three things that will come with him to his grave. His iman and a'mal, his family members, and at times his wealth will come with him. Perhaps they will use his own car to take him to the Qabristan. But when he is placed into that grave, then his family members, his wealth, his vehicle, his worldly possessions will have to return. The only thing that will remain with him will be his iman and his amal. The effort he made for the deen of Allah. The sacrifice he made. And together with that, my dear brothers, one is the positive amal. These good actions that a person will do during these 10 days. Alama Jassas rahimahullah mentions that to top it all, one is these nafil actions, wudu at home, coming to the masjid for salah, and then obedience to one's parents, or salatul ishraq, which is an optional action. But more than that, he says, if a person wants the reward of hajj, and he wants to secure the pleasure of Allah during these days, take special care to fulfill the fard obligations we have to Allah. Our 5 times salah with jamaat, if we have unpaid zakat, if we have qada'i umri, a lifetime of salah that we may have missed, at least we start paying back to Allah slowly. Especially during these days. We'll end with this statement of the Salafus Salihin. They say during these 10 days of the year, especially those deeds that a person will carry out during these days will remain with him for the rest of the year. If he will conduct himself in a positive way, he will exert himself in the obedience of Allah, he will ensure he's in the masjid, and he is obedient to Allah to the best of his ability, Allah will give him tawfiq for the rest of the year. But at the same time, on the other hand, if a person will now continue with his evil habits, and he will break the command of Allah, then this is more dangerous than during other times of the year. Because the heart will be sealed upon whatever actions a person carries out in this time. Allah give us tawfiq, Allah give us understanding, that we realize, we perceive, we identify with the season that we are going through right now, and that we become the recipients of the mercy of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah, and that we do not lose out on these golden opportunities to secure the reward of Hajj. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.